Yeah, it's never gonna. I've had to fill a pulpit now probably 10 times, and it never gets easier. Had a friend of mine tell me one time, the first time I ever preached, I said, you know, I got up, I felt butterflies, literally, in my stomach. It's not as bad, but it's close. I can feel them, just not moving around as much. But she told me, she says, if you get up front and you're not scared, you're doing it for the wrong reason. So I'm holding to that. See, many of you made the movie last Sunday, Courageous. As I was praying the previous week of what God wanted me to share, faith kept coming up. And it wasn't until during the movie, the one scene, which I'll need that light off, if you would, you know, play a video. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. You see me at home all the time? And you still want to see me? Isn't that sweet? Okay. Surprised you didn't say something smart back to me. But during the movie, there's one scene that I'm going to have Justin play here in a short that really spoke to me. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, that's what I want you to share. For those who have seen it, you'll see it again. I plan on seeing it many more times, because once the movie comes out, I'm going to purchase the movie, which is the thing. If you haven't seen the movie, we're going to bring the movie to church. We're going to do a potluck supper some night and show it here for those who could not make it. For those who could, we had 62 people from our church last Sunday go see the movie. When Roger first told me he bought 60 tickets, I'm thinking, Roger, 60 tickets? I thought maybe 40. But I was totally amazed by the response from our church. And we had to buy 2 extra tickets there, so which was really neat. You look around in there, and most of the place was our church. That's pretty neat. So, Justin, if you want to play that clip.
Humvee! I love it.
I don't know, Carmen. Should I have done this?
Yes! Put it on for me.
Right now?
Right now! I want to see you in it! No, 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 no. Here, let me do it.
Mira, papi, se ve guapo.
Papi, estoy yo?
Yes, this is Daddy's suit. He'll wear to his ceremony next week. We'll all be wearing our very best.
I keep seeing you in the hardest day.
I feel like a rich man.
You are a rich man. You have a strong faith, children that love you. A wife that adores you.
Stop it, Carmen. Don't make me cry in front of the children.
Thank you, Justin. During that scene, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me is, if you got a strong faith, Your faith is grounded in God. You got a family who loves you and supports you. Everything else falls into place. Got teared up just watching and thinking about it. That movie last Sunday, I have never cried and laughed so much in 2-hour time frame as I did then. For those of you who know me, you know I got a soft heart. I've got a gift of mercy. Sometimes being a police officer and a gift of mercy does not go hand in hand. There's times you got to be tough. There's times, but I care for people. But during that, it really made me really aware how much a man needs the support of, number one, God daily, and secondly, of his family. And I am blessed with a family who cares for me and loves me. So. We often ask one another, how are you doing? How's it going? We usually respond, fine, or great, or not too bad, or pretty good. Very, very seldom do they ever say, I'm a rich man. Because according to society standards, none of us are really rich. We don't have millions in the bank. We're not driving big fancy cars or million-dollar homes. That's the society way of looking at it. Spiritually speaking, we can be rich, overwhelmed by blessings and provisions of God on our behalf. Think about, for example, the children of Israel. Why did they wander around in the wilderness? Because they didn't take God at his word. Canaan was there for them, but they ate dust. A land awaited them flowing with milk and honey, but they ate manna. Fortified cities were often opened for their habitation, but they lived in tents. It was all for the taking the moment they stepped out of Egypt, but they died in the wilderness. Unfortunately, that's the epitaph for many, many believers. They died in the wilderness. Many people never achieve all God intends for them, never accomplishing anything eternal. Instead of saying they ran the race, they finished the course, and they heard, well done. What could be said of many believers is, what could have they been? They had so much potential. What a waste, or what a shame. They were blessed, but they didn't claim their blessings. God is waiting for us daily to ask Him, and He's just ready to unleash His blessings upon us. So as we grow and mature in Christianhood, the more God will put upon us and bless us. They were blessed. But the greatest tragedy in that people's choice to live this way when God could do so much more in them and through them. Paul warned us in Corinthians that they could be in the same boat as the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 and 12. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of all the ages to come. So if you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. This is a call of self-examination as we look in the mirror of God, of the Word of God, and make necessary adjustments. Are you old or are you new? If I'm a believer, then I am in Him. And if I am Him, try that again. If I am in Him, then I am a new creation. I don't know how Scott did that last Sunday, that tongue twister. I just messed up on that one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. We died with Him and were raised with Him that we might walk with Him. The newness of life, Romans 6:4. We are no longer bound by sin, and we can overcome because the overcomer lives in us. His death means my life. God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, 1 John 4:9. Christ died that we might live through Him, for Him, and one day with Him. Because of Christ, we view life differently than the world does. People, do you see people the way Christ sees them? Or do you view them according to race, class, wealth, looks, possessions, and status? That's the way society looks at people. We, with God's heart and God in us, need to look at people as the way Christ would see them. Possessions. Is it your money or God's money? Do you think like Scrooge or a saint? Are you a giver or a getter? Prestige. Do you have to be in the cool group? Do you crave positions of influence? Or are you a servant? We have many servants at Laurel Street. God has blessed this church with people who want to serve, who want to do, and that's a great thing to have. Those who know the Savior have no right to live selfishly. God's word flies in the faces of modern times. 20th century magazines had titles like Life, Look, and Time. Now our magazines reflect our ego-driven society. People, us, and self. We are made new creations in Christ. We are habilitated, rehabilitated, reformed. We're recreated. Salvation is not a tune-up. It's an overhaul. Well, God takes us, transforms us into what He wants us to be, Christ-like. The phrase, in Christ, summarizes our riches in Christ Jesus. But too many believers are living in spiritual poverty. Our old self was crucified with Him, Romans 6:6, and laid aside, Ephesians 4:22-24. This is an instantaneous event and a continuous process. We have an eternal perspective, but we most nourish it. God operates and we cooperate. Are you moving or are you stuck? God brought us out of sin that He might bring us into Christ. But many are stuck in the wilderness. It's hard for me to imagine that anyone finds the wilderness fun and fulfilling. Remember what characterized the wilderness. Wandering around the desert for 40 years. I couldn't imagine wandering around a desert for 40 years. That would get a little old. Defeat. Funerals. Going in circles. Activity without progress. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Colossians 2:6. Paul commanded the Colossians and us to walk in the same way we received. That's progress. So how did you receive Christ? By faith. Not by works or righteousness which have done, Titus 3:5, or for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Therefore, how do you walk? By faith. What is true positionally and potentially is often true on the practical level. We fail to walk. We stop making progress, and we fail to walk by faith. It's not up to me to live a good life, try harder, or do better. It's Christ in me that empowers me to live the life that I can't live in my own flesh. Romans 14:23 says that whatever is not in faith is sin. That means anxiety, worry, scheming, planning without prayer, and fear that all weapons we provide the devil to fight against us. God didn't save me to live a carnal, defeated, self-centered, religious life. He brought me out to bring me into Christ. When I got saved, I received Christ as my only hope for salvation, deliverance, and forgiveness. Now that I am saved, I am to continually receive Him. He is all that I need. When I grasp this concept, the lid comes off. My responsibility is to, number one, die daily to self. Number two, turn my situations over to Christ. Number three, walk believing that He can do what He said He will do. Such as for me, having to fill this pulpit. It's not easy to get up here and do this. It takes a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation. He helps me through it, and the Holy Spirit guides me through it. If I don't live this way, I'm allowing the old things to dominate my life. When I first took the Associates in Ministry class, and I found out that we all had to get up here and preach, I about quit. My first thought was, I ain't doing that. I like people. I enjoy talking to people, one-on-one, maybe a few people. Now, a group of people is a little bit different. Especially when it comes to the responsibility of filling a pulpit, that God holds you to it, and he makes you responsible for it. Are you turning back, or are you in the battle? In Psalm 78, 9 through 11, the sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows. Yet they turned back in the days of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his deeds and his miracles that he had shown them. It's not because they were weak or inadequate or lacked the necessary equipment. Yet they tempted and they rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testaments, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They seemed determined to go back to their own way and do their own thing. Sometimes it's easier to turn and run than it is to face and try to change. When people run or give up in difficult times instead of relying on God, we need to have that faith, the faith in God. In verses 10 and 11, they note three of the issues. One is defection. They did not keep the covenant. Number two was rejection. They refused to walk in his law. And three was carelessness. They forgot his deeds and miracles. What God did for Israel, Jesus wants to do for this church. But like most people of the Old Testament, we wander and limit what God can do in us and through us. The word picture in the verses above means slack bow. For those of you who hunt with bow, you know you can't hunt very well if your string is slack. You can't draw it back good. But they were slack, useless and ineffective. They had no power to fight. They had lost their sense of purpose and wandered off course. We too can be like slack bows. We can be weak, powerless, and ineffective because we fail to maintain our walk with God. We don't pray. We don't read the scriptures, apply the word to our hearts, or renew our minds. In fact, backsliding can be thought of as slack abiding. Do you want to walk in victory? First, we have to believe that it's possible. In 1 John 4, 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he in you than he who is in the world. I have who I need and what I need when I need him. Why do we fail? One of the biggest things is probably fear. We are afraid of men, the devil, consequences, failure. Thus we accept defeat and failure as normal. We accept to see casualties more than we expect to see conquerors. There's more to being saved than knowing my sins are forgiven and that I have a home in heaven. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his faith. Romans 5:10. I was saved by the death of Christ. I am being saved by the life of Christ. The victory you're looking for and trying to attain has already been provided. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Paul knew two things that you needed to know. One is the weakness of the flesh, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, Romans 7:18. The power of the Savior, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard I have entrusted to him until the day. 2 Timothy 1:12. That's why Paul could loudly proclaim Philippians 4:13, which happens to be my favorite verse of all time. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The lid was off. There were no limits to what God could do through Paul. He had a willing warrior ready for battles. His faith was in God's promise. His power was in the Holy Spirit. Whatever is holding you back, I want you to think and say, Lord, this is where I struggle, where I find myself constantly defeated. Today I commit it to you, and I ask you to empower me. I stand in a victory already won. Lord Jesus, you are my victory. I am a rich man. To be a rich man in society's eyes is one thing, but I would rather be a rich man in God's eyes, where I could live eternity with him in heaven. And I really see this movie last Sunday. I was really glad to see also that it made the number one movie of... There was three brand new movies that came out last weekend, and Courageous was the number one movie. For a movie industry who looks more at bottom line dollar than they do anything else, it was a wake up call for them. Because originally, we shared, it wasn't even supposed to come to Freeport. There was a number of phone calls from this church and many other churches who asked the Lindo to bring it to Freeport. And I am very glad that they did. Because I can see lives and men's lives touched by this and what they're supposed to do. So if you haven't seen it, I would very much encourage you to see it. If you want to see it again, we will be showing it at some point in time once it comes out on DVD here. Along with the movie, we do what we do best. We will come and eat. This church is very big eaters. We enjoy to eat. And we will probably continue always to enjoy to eat. Some of us more than others, probably, but that's okay. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that this church loves you, honors you, Lord, and just glorifies you. I thank you personally, Lord, for being with me today through this sermon, giving me, Lord, what you want shared. Filling the pulpit, Lord, is very challenging. It puts me out of my comfort zone. I just thank you, Lord, for what you do in this church, that you're continually working us, Lord. And I just pray that not only as men, but as women also, that we look to you for our home, for our courage, for our comfort, and that we look to you as our number one resource. And as our family second, Lord, everything else will fall into place. Just thank you and give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.